This is Jake and Stacy's off-season profile. A look at the key free agents, potential draft picks, and extension candidates for the Hawks championship run.
Let's go!
Draft profile.
All right, Jake, you've got five names here. And let me just say, having covered this team every year, there is no player that people root for more than a local player. Every single year, the number one question I always see, hey, how's this guy doing? How's that guy doing? How's Aaron Fuller looking? Right? Like, of course, you guys watch these guys for, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 years or sometimes more if they're like a red shirt, and you're rooting for them and invested in their success, and you're excited when they go to their local team. You also have so many exciting stories of a guy like Jermaine Kearse that finds success at the next level, and you get to root for him for, you know, something like 8 years in a Seattle Seahawks uniform. So, who do you have here?
Who do I have here? I've got five guys that I got to roll through. Let's start with Washington State. Washington State, the two names that really stand out to me. Number one, running back Max Borgi. 5'9", 210 pounds. This is a guy that obviously was one of the most beloved players at Washington State over the last 3-4 years. Max Borgi is a senior who I believe has a lot of traits that can play favorably in the NFL in regards to being an all-around running back, having the ability to run between the tackles, get on the outside, and also be a playmaker in the passing game as well. Now, Max Borgi is not the perfect product, which is why you're going to see Max Borgi fall in this draft. You're going to see him, I think, earliest be a probably round four would be the earliest I would see Max Borgi go. But I do think that wherever he gets his opportunities, that he will make the most of, because he is a Swiss Army knife at the running back position. The one thing that you do not know about Max Borgi is how well is he going to run between the tackles in the NFL game? That's the one question mark that you have, because as he came from a spread system, and although effective as a runner, he did not face heavy box counts, and that wasn't necessarily a huge skill of his, was being dominant in between the tackles. Max Borgi, when he gets in space and he has daylight and he has opportunities to work, he is a tough guy to bring down. He's compact. He can beat guys, even with his size at 5'9", 210 pounds, he can beat guys to the edge. He can beat guys with even good angles. He has top-end speed to be able to get past them. And I think Borgi has to answer two questions. Can he run in between the tackles at the NFL level, and can he pass protect? If he can do that, he can turn himself into a legitimate third-down back and possibly even more. I like the potential of Max Borgi, but he will definitely be a pick that happens later in this draft.
He might be the most common name I see mocked to Seattle. Obviously, they're late picks, right? But he was just so successful at Wazoo. People know what kind of offense Pete Carroll wants. He's the most common name by far, but you've got four others here.
I would be surprised. This is what I'll say about Max Borgi. I would be surprised if they end up drafting him. Here's why. Because I see a lot of DJ Dallas in Max Borgi. In terms of the types of roles that they could end up having, unless the Seahawks project Max Borgi as an elite guy between the tackles that others are not. And I don't know if I see that. So if Max Borgi comes in, he would be competing directly with DJ Dallas for that particular role. Moving on, Abraham Lucas out of Everett, Washington. So a true local product, 6'6", 315 pounds. This guy has the size, the length, the athleticism, running a 4.92 40, you know, with a 24 bench press, which is very respectable for his size and length. This is a guy that is unique because I really like his tape a lot, and I feel like he is one of the better, more polished pass protectors in this draft, and I believe he'll probably go in the second round, but he has a couple things working against him. Number one, that he was in a pass-heavy offensive system, and there's going to be question marks about his run-blocking ability. And does he have, just like with Stone Forsythe, who was in a pass-heavy offense down at Florida, he's got incredible size and length, and if you can teach him how to use that properly, he can be a very good steal in this draft. But there are question marks as to how good of a run blocker he can really be. No one's really questioning his pass blocking ability in this draft. Now, with Abraham Lucas, though, one of the other things that's working against him right now in terms of NFL evaluators is guys like Andre Dillard. There's been other Washington State offensive linemen that have been drafted high and have not panned out well in the NFL. And so I do think that you're going to have people
like
wary, a stigma about Washington State offensive linemen, fair or unfair, and that could hurt Abraham Lucas in this draft. But I really like him. I think he's got the size, the athleticism to be able to put it all together. I'm a big Abraham Lucas fan, rooting for him, obviously, since he is a true local product here out of the Seattle area.
Okay, you got Max Borgie, Abraham Lucas. Who's next?
All right, let's get to the University of Washington. Now, there's two guys that are going to be in the conversation early in the first round. Kyler Gordon and Trent McDuffie, two of the more dynamic cornerbacks in the entire country. And when you look at Kyler Gordon... out of Mukilteo, Washington, played at Archbishop Murphy. Just a freak athlete. Just, you know, when you talk about athleticism, Kyler Gordon can do it all. He can do it all. He is so fluid. He has just unbelievable traits to be able to play the ball at an elite level. And he is one of those guys that has been able to get it done because he's just so physically gifted as an athlete. But I think that's also one of the things that worries people about Kyler Gordon is he an athlete or is he somebody that can transition those skills and become a technician to match all of that together and really be the type of talent that everyone sees that he can be? I think Kyler Gordon can. And I think if he gets into the right system with the right group, he could be a dominant corner in this league. And one of the things that I like about Kyler Gordon is that he could play inside, outside, and is natural, very natural in press man coverage. And that is a commodity in the NFL, in today's NFL. Now, with Trent McDuffie is a little bit smaller than Kyler Gordon, but plays big, plays tough, plays physical. And this is a guy that I think, when it's all said and done, I would not be surprised if Trent McDuffie went before Kyler Gordon, because if you're talking about a guy that you feel more sure about, I think Trent McDuffie's tenacity and his nastiness and the way that he plays the game brings a little bit more comfort to teams. Whereas you look at Kyler Gordon and you could fall in love with everything about this guy, but does he have those next level instincts to pattern match and read and jump routes? Trent McDuffie has shown that and can be a great nickel in this league or a great outside corner. I mean, he's shown his ability to do both. I love both of these guys. I know it sounds like I'm high on Trent McDuffie more so than Kyler Gordon, but I just think McDuffie he's more of a technician. He's had to be more of a technician. He's, because of him being a little bit more undersized, I think he's had to overcome that.
Much like
DJ Reed, right? He's had to overcome some of these things and just plays kind of with that chip on his shoulder. I think that's what Trent McDuffie brings to the table, whereas Kyler Gordon's just such a natural, fluid athlete.
Right.
Just things come easy to him. So these two guys are going to be incredibly exciting players in the NFL. I'm really, really excited to watch. They may be the two best corners that come out of the University of Washington in the last 10 years. And yes, I am including Marcus Peters. I'm really high on Kyler Gordon and Trent McDuffie.
Max Borgie, Abraham Lucas, Kyler Gordon, Trent McDuffie. The last name you'll all know. Jake, who is it?
It is tight end Cade Otton out of Tumwater, Washington. Now, Cade Otton, 6'5", 247 pounds. This guy is very sneaky in terms of how much of a commodity he is going to be. And I believe that if he was able to test and run, he was not able to do that because of an injury that held him back. But this is a guy that has starter written all over him. He has productive pro written all over him. I think he is going to be a very, very good tight end in the league. If you just look at Will Dissly, the way I view Cade Otton is I think that he is a better version of Will Dissly from the simple fact of being a overall better athlete. I think he runs better. He's got more size. He's just very, very natural as a pass catcher. But the one thing that it's a compliment to Will Dissly is that Cade Otton has that ability to be both a compliment, a plus level pass catcher and a plus level run blocker. And that is a commodity that is very rare in today's NFL. And therefore, I think Cade Otton is going to be a day two pick. He will be somewhere in the second or third round of this draft. and someone's going to get a steal for Cade Otton because he is going to be someone that can contribute from day one and make great contributions in both the run and the pass game. There's a lot of teams out there that are really seeking that, and that's why Will Dissly got $8 million per year from the Seattle Seahawks this offseason.
Hear Jake and Stacy every day from 10 to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.